Welcome to It Is What It Is. Today is the first day of Chad Daybell's court, so I'm going to give you guys a recap of what happened today, and we will go back into it tomorrow. But I guess if we don't stop bitching at each other, well, finally towards the end it kind of did, but it might take longer than 2 days. I'm not confident in this 2 day thing. It might be though. So I'm going to tell you guys what I've learned so far, and we'll go from there. So far we've learned that for some reason, mainly because I don't think they didn't want to be judged and they didn't want arousal and suspicion right away. But we find out that Chad and Alex are claiming to be friends and not lovers with Lori. Okay, Alex, not her lover. That Chad for sure. But we don't say that. We just say that it's her brother's friend. And they claim that they don't have her phone number. Like when they're first asked, like, how do we call her? They're like, I don't know. Ain't got it. So we find out that those two, shockingly, are liars. And that when they tried to contact them again is when Lori and Chad went and got some attorneys. They didn't talk to anybody. Everybody was losing their minds with Mr. Pryor at the beginning. That's Chad's guy. Because he's literally, objection, objection. Time zone, time of day, where, when. And he's just being fucking obnoxious the whole time. So he finally dies down. And so Mr. Wood is killer. Okay, he does a good job. He was doing a very good job at the beginning. He was very passionate. I liked it a lot. So on September 28th is the last picture of Tylee. We all know that. It's the picture of the three of them at Yellowstone. On September 22nd, there's a picture of JJ on a couch. And that is determined to be his last picture ever taken. So she gets served, Lori gets served on the 25th. Then they go up missing. So when they go to Chad's house to do the final search warrant, they didn't know that it was weird that Chad kept like glancing over. And I wouldn't even say glancing because that makes it look like he was just like, one, two. But he wasn't. It was like, pondering. That's what I would have called it. He was pondering on a location behind his shoulder. And that's the location towards the tree and the... Let me make sure I say this correctly, because earlier I was in such a huff, and I don't speak proper English. Anybody who listens to me knows this. And I was like, it was a fucking ponder. And so everybody was like, wait, what did he pawn? No, there was no pawning of anything. But anyway, he was looking over his shoulder to the tree and the pond. And that is where JJ was located. Oh, I jotted down the address. Chad Daybell's house. I don't know why I thought that was important. So then we go to the June 9th and June 10th. And then finally everybody gets the answers that they've been waiting for. And like exactly what did they find when they uncovered. And we knew from the beginning that this was horrible. At least I always knew that this was going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible murder of both of these children. And oddly enough, dude, I didn't think it was going to be as... wasn't gory. Horrific? Maybe it's the right word. Soul-crushing? I don't know. And so, okay, so what they find is they find the layer of grass is different from the other grass. So obviously that's where they had cadaver dogs. They did the sonar read or whatever. And when they undo the top layer, they have come across three big rocks, like one, two, and three. And so they move the rocks, and then underneath the rocks is some wood. And underneath the wood is a black, plastic bag, and then underneath that is a white one. And so they take JJ's body to the hospital, to the morgue, and then they go and they switch it over to Kay and Larry in the courtroom. And I literally just like, I was like not crying until then. And then seeing Larry snap me, bro, it killed me. So They kept referring to the pet cemetery. They say that a dog and a cat was found there. And then we had to go over that a million times. How big is the pet cemetery? Shockingly, this detective did not know how big this pet cemetery is. And it's shocking to me that it was big. And like, there was like a, how many pets do you have die? Anywho, so then they take a 15-minute break. And we come back. And he says that when he goes back to the house is when he is showed the burnt skin and bones and the half skull of Tylee, and then she was also taken, and that so was the green melted bucket, and that's her half of her skull was underneath the green melted bucket, but she fit into a green bucket. So then the detectives take the kids to Boise, and when they take the kids to Boise is when they cut open the bag and the bags, and they find that JJ is in his red pajamas. He has black socks on. He has a white and a blue blanket on top of him. He had a trash bag over his head, a tightly wrapped, it's a normal everyday trash bag with the pull strings. He had that around his precious little head. When they unwrapped that, he had the tape on the duct tape on the bag was from here to like eyebrow. And then when they get that off, he also had tape from like here to here on his mouth. His arms were taped like this, he said. And it was like tape was from one elbow to the other elbow. And then underneath that, his hands were taped as well. And his ankles were also bound as well. And so they wrapped him up and he repeated a bunch of times that it was a very tight wrapping of the body. And like I said, and Tylee was examined from her green bucket that was on the table. Okay, so then we could take a break. And then this is when Pryor, Chad's guy, starts being a massive dickhead. I even wrote dickhead and underlined it. And then Mr. Wood starts doing the eject, whatever. And then Mr. Pryor has like a meltdown for like a second. And he's like, he can't have it both ways. I just thought that was funny. So I jotted that down. And then Mr. Pryor did point out, have the detective point out that there's five homes around the Chad Daybell home. And not one of these five have said that they smelt something burning. Which, from what we've gathered, because they went into great detail about it, burning a human body is not the freshest smelling thing you can ever smell, and I guess it's a gruesome smell. And no one saw him burning anything. No, well, I guess one neighbor on the news said that he told the police, but so far, and we're far past that now, no one ever brought up this neighbor again. So that would have been a perfect time for that detective to be like, no, a neighbor did see. But he didn't. And so then we went on break. We come back. We have another detective come on. And then they are going through the exhibits and the evidence and stuff. And whatever exhibit number 12 is, for some reason, the way that Chad looked at that paper, I did not like the way he looked at that paper. He was very scared of that paper. I want to know what that paper is. Number 12. So watch for that in the trial. I want to know what that is. He laughs and they all laugh and they take a like ha, a laughing moment on the jokes of a last name being a very hard to spell, hard to pronounce last name. Everybody in the courtroom has a good chuckle, and Chad has these face expressions that make you just want to smack the fuck out of him. And then so then it was done, and then David Stubbs. What a bitchin' last name. I adore your last name. I'm very fond of it. Well, he comes on and he is, I'm gonna call him a phone expert, but he did amazing. He was the one who did the triangulations and the mapping and the nonsense and the time and whatever have you. He did a really good part. Really good job. And then I jotted down here that I just want to give Mr. Wood some credit. Your bald head, sir, was on point and very shiny. It is very hard to get your head to shine like that. My husband's bald. Shit don't just happen. And as anybody could tell, Chad has got back some of his weight. I've always been ashamed of my gobbler, but damn, Chad, you got some gob, my friend. And so I just jot down, the truth will make you fat again. I don't know. And then they show the detective's body cam footage. We don't get to see it. We get to hear it. So we get to hear Lori's bitch ass voice. And she's like, what is all this? Why is everybody making a big deal? And then she drops a bombshell that her brother's trying to kill her. And the detective is flown back right away. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And she's like, this is fucking K. She doesn't cuss. But she's like, this is K. I know it. She got $1 million when her brother died, murdered. But she had $1 million. She didn't give us none. So I knew she was gonna come after JJ, so I hit him. And he's with my friend Melanie, who's shady as fuck, but he's with her. And then they take the camera and they go, bam, over to K. And dude, Kay was pissed. You could tell that if Lori would have been in that courtroom, she might have been attacked. Like, she was mad as hell. She is on fire, I say. Lori claims in the video, we hear her say that she's a good person. Everybody is causing her trouble. She doesn't understand why. She's going back to Arizona. She's moving back, and that's why JJ is with her friend, because she intends on moving there. When they ask her who was the dude with your brother earlier, she goes, who is friend Chad? Maybe. And the one cop is trying to play it off cool and trying to like get her to admit that like this is the same Chad, but he's like, didn't his wife just die? And she goes, I guess. Fucking guess. And then she says that they're frozen too, and that obviously is a big fat no-no and a big lie. And then they go on another couple of recesses. Fucking million. And so Alex's email address at Google, he provided Google, was homerjmaximus@gmail.com. Feel free to send hate mail there. But that was his email address. Once again, that was homerjmaximus. I laughed my ass off at that. I don't know why. I found that to be very hilarious. And then, I don't even have notes on this one because it just happened and I'm still fucking baffled. My friend Tara is messaging me and I haven't even got to message her back, but girl, yeah, I'm gonna get back to you. Oh my God. Okay, so they call shady ass Melanie, right? Melanie Gibb. We all know how I feel about Melanie Gibb. I'm not a fan of Melanie Gibb. She's a liar and a fat mouth. And I'm right. Okay, she's a liar in her fat mouth. Well, she secretly records a conversation between herself, Lori, Chad, the threesome. And she records it on her boyfriend's phone. She puts them on speaker and records them. Well, for one, no one knows how to act fucking just sly nowadays. Okay, they just ask the most upfront blank question. Like, Lori knew she was being recorded from hello. So, anywho, she knew she was being recorded. They get in like a tiffle for like a off and on at the like towards the end of their conversation. Lori handles it very oddly. Like, she's just like, I know you're recording me. Everything's fine. JJ's happy. And she keeps saying that JJ's happy. He's safe. When all this is over, JJ will come out. And then that she brings up that Melanie had seen documents on her computer, and Melanie's like, no, I didn't. And Lori, that's when Lori was like, okay, well, girl, I don't know if you're recording this or if you're just fucking dumb. She didn't say that, but she's like, you know, you saw him, but whatever, okay. And then she reads a scripture to her, and it's the scriptures like, you've been deceived by the devil. And Lori's just like, I don't know why you believe that. Sorry. And then Chad comes on and he's like, girl, I knew Tammy was gonna die. My kids were there. It's not shady. My kids are all cool with it. They were there, all of them were there within 20 minutes of her passing. We all knew. And then he's trying to say that he knew, they all knew that Tammy was going to die and that she should have gone to a doctor because she was, her health was failing. And that's not true. She was training for a marathon. So how the fuck are you going to go on the long distance run if your heart's bad? It's just not so. It's just not so. And then the phone call ends. Well, it disconnected. And it ends. And then that's where we end for today. But I'm still baffled, Tara. I have no fucking clue. I'm just mouth on the floor. If my bottom teeth weren't fucked up, I'd do it. But, like, I don't know, guys. Tomorrow's going to be interesting. 9 a.m. We start afresh tomorrow. And that is when his people get to yell at her. Mr. Pryor gets to yell at Melanie. Melanie Gibb. We haven't even seen the nieces yet. God only knows what that weirdo's going to say. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for Lori's. Like, if this one is this crazy, Lori's is going to be insane. But, you guys, I will be back at this and giving you updates all day tomorrow as well. And yeah, we'll see how this goes.